The Watchtower, Study Edition, July 2026. This article will be studied during the week of September 7th through 13th. Learn from the Gibeonites. Theme text: The inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and remained among them. Joshua 10:1. Song 88. Make me know your ways. Focus: Identify lessons we can learn from the Gibeonites and from the way Jehovah dealt with them.
Paragraphs 1 and 2. Question: Why should we be interested in what the Bible says about the Gibeonites?
The year is 1473 BCE. The nation of Israel has just begun its conquest of the Promised Land. The Israelites have won extraordinary victories over the cities of Jericho and Ai. But later, something unexpected happens. A group of travelers comes to them, claiming to be from a distant land and seeking to establish a peace agreement with God's people. Those travelers are the Gibeonites. This is the first time that the Gibeonites are mentioned in the Bible record, but it is not the last. A number of Bible accounts reveal that the Gibeonites were closely associated with the Israelites throughout the following centuries. These accounts contain valuable lessons for us, and they reveal much about Jehovah God. Act with faith and humility.
Paragraph 3, Question A: Who were the Gibeonites? Question B: Why did they seek peace with Israel?
When the Israelites began their conquest of the land of Canaan, the Gibeonites lived in the fortified city of Gibeon. They were part of the Hivite nation, one of the seven Canaanite nations that were more populous and mightier than the Israelites. Deuteronomy 7:1. So the Gibeonites were a militarily strong people. Unlike the other Canaanites, however, they realized that resisting Israel would be pointless. They could see that Jehovah was fighting for his people, and they knew that he had promised to drive the Canaanites out of the land. So after the Israelites conquered Jericho and Ai, the Gibeonites sent a delegation to Joshua at Gilgal in an effort to seek peace.
The footnote reads: The Gibeonite delegation apparently also represented the people of three other Hivite cities, Kephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. Paragraph 4, Question A: As shown at Joshua 9:8 through 13, how did the Gibeonites trick Israel into making a covenant of peace? Question B: What happened when their deception was discovered? Joshua 9:8 through 13 reads:
They replied to Joshua,
"We are your servants."
Then Joshua said to them, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" At this they said to him,
"Your servants have come from a very distant land out of regard for the name of Jehovah your God, because we have heard about his fame and about all he did in Egypt, and about all he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our land told us, 'Take provisions with you for the journey and go to meet them. Tell them, we will be your servants. Now make a covenant with us.' This bread that we took as our provisions was still hot on the day we left our houses to come here to you. Now you can see it is dry and crumbly. And these wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they have burst. And our garments and sandals have worn out because of the great length of the journey."
The Gibeonites pretended to be from a distant land. They acknowledged that Jehovah had a hand in Israel's military success against Egypt and the Amorite kings Sihon and Og. But wisely, they did not mention what had happened to Jericho and Ai, since such recent news could not yet have reached their so-called very distant land. Without consulting Jehovah, Israel's representatives accepted the evidence that the Gibeonites presented and made a covenant of peace with them. Shortly thereafter, the Gibeonites' deception was discovered, but the Israelites stuck to their peace agreement with the Gibeonites because they had sworn an oath to them by Jehovah. Joshua 9:16-19. The Gibeonites were given the humble assignment to serve indefinitely as gatherers of wood and drawers of water for the assembly and for Jehovah's altar. Joshua 9:27.
The picture for paragraph 4 shows a group of Gibeonite men kneeling and pleading with Joshua and other Israelite soldiers. The Gibeonites present their worn clothing and wineskins. The picture caption reads, "The Gibeonites tricked Joshua into making peace with them." Paragraph 5. Question. In what ways did the Gibeonites show faith in Jehovah?
On hearing that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel, 5 Amorite kings banded together to attack Gibeon. The Gibeonites appealed to Joshua for help. Joshua led Israel in a rescue operation, and their efforts were blessed. Jehovah even hurled down great hailstones on the enemy Amorite forces and miraculously extended the daylight for battle. By seeking a covenant of peace with Israel and by appealing to Joshua for help when threatened, the Gibeonites showed faith in Jehovah, faith in his ability to fulfill his word and to rescue them.
Paragraph 6. Question. What do we learn about Jehovah from the way he treated the Gibeonites during Israel's conquest of the Promised Land?
What does this account teach us about Jehovah? Jehovah is humble and merciful. He had previously instructed Israel to drive away all the inhabitants of the land, which included the Gibeonites. Numbers 33:51-52. Yet, in support of the covenant of peace Israel made with them, Jehovah mercifully permitted the Gibeonites to live. Jehovah did so even though the Israelites failed to consult him before entering into that covenant. He then helped Israel to stick to their agreement and miraculously rescued the Gibeonites.
Paragraph 7. Question. How can we imitate the Gibeonites' faith and humility?
How can we imitate the Gibeonites? By cultivating strong faith in Jehovah. Since we know so much more about Jehovah than did the Gibeonites at that time, we have even more reasons to trust in Jehovah completely. We can also imitate the Gibeonites by being willing to do humble tasks in Jehovah's service. A young brother named Luke will never forget the time when he saw an older brother of the Bethel family do just that. Although that Bethelite cared for a weighty and somewhat prominent assignment, he quietly volunteered for a night shift to watch the local Kingdom Hall site while it was under construction. Luke says, "I learned that humility is not simply a feeling. It is expressed by what we choose to do or not do." May we express our faith in Jehovah daily by relying on Him when we face difficult situations and by humbly caring for any theocratic assignment.
The picture collage for paragraph 7 shows examples of doing humble tasks willingly. A Gibeonite man carries a water jug. An older brother gardens at a Kingdom Hall. The picture caption reads, "Imitate the Gibeonites by being willing to do humble work."
Wait on Jehovah to correct injustice.
Paragraph 8. Question. What crime did King Saul commit against the Gibeonites?
The Gibeonites are mentioned again in the Bible record centuries later. King Saul turned against the Gibeonites living in Israel. In his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah, he attempted to wipe the Gibeonites out. 2 Samuel 21:2-6.
The footnote reads, "The Bible does not specifically say why Saul committed this crime. Some scholars have suggested that Saul was motivated by nationalistic fervor."
As a result, a number of them were murdered. What an injustice! Saul broke the long-standing covenant of peace that existed between Israel and the Gibeonites.
Paragraph 9. Question. When was the injustice against the Gibeonites finally addressed?
This terrible injustice against the Gibeonites was not immediately addressed. In fact, it was not until the reign of Saul's successor, King David, that Jehovah brought the matter to the attention of the nation by means of a 3-year famine. When David asked about the reason for the famine, Jehovah told him that Saul and his household were blood guilty because of the way they had mistreated the Gibeonites years earlier.
Paragraph 10. Question. As recorded at 2 Samuel 21, 3-6, how did the Gibeonites show respect for God's law in what they said to David? 2 Samuel 21, 3-6 reads,
David said to the Gibeonites,
"What should I do for you, and how can I make atonement so that you will bless the inheritance of Jehovah?"
The Gibeonites said to him,
"It is not a matter of silver or gold for us in connection with Saul and his household, nor can we put any man to death in Israel."
At that he said,
"Whatever you say, I will do for you."
They said to the king,
"The man who exterminated us and schemed to annihilate us from living anywhere in the territory of Israel, let 7 of his sons be given to us. We will hang their dead bodies before Jehovah in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen one of Jehovah."
The king then said,
"I will hand them over."
David spoke to the Gibeonites to try to determine what could be done to atone for Saul's crime against them. Would they try to get rich by making David pay for not acting earlier in their behalf? The Gibeonites rightly answered that it was not a matter of silver or gold because, according to the law, no ransom could be accepted for a murderer. They also recognized that they could not put a man to death without legal authorization. In the end, David authorized the execution of 7 of Saul's male descendants, who may have had some share in Saul's attempted genocide. Sometime later, the rains came, ending the famine and signaling that the injustice had been avenged to Jehovah's satisfaction.
Paragraph 11. Question. What can we learn about Jehovah from this account?
What does this account teach us about Jehovah? We see clear evidence that Jehovah is a just God. He wants all people to be treated fairly. That includes even those who may be discriminated against, as is often the case with foreigners and minorities. In his due time, Jehovah will correct any injustices that his worshipers may have experienced. We also learn that Jehovah expects us to keep our promises, just as he expected the Israelites to keep their promise of peace with the Gibeonites.
Paragraph 12. Question. How can we imitate the Gibeonites when dealing with an injustice?
How can we imitate the Gibeonites? Even when mistreated by our brothers and sisters, we can wait patiently on Jehovah. By doing so, we show that we trust that Jehovah will correct matters in his due time. Consider the example of Sister Laura French. She began serving at Canada Bethel in 1926. About 10 years later, she became the victim of a terrible injustice. She was wrongly accused of being involved with a group of apostates, and she was dismissed from Bethel. What would she do? Although she felt hurt, she never complained. She spent the next 4 years zealously serving as a pioneer. To her surprise and delight, in 1940 she was invited to return to Bethel, where she continued to serve faithfully until she finished her earthly course some 50 years later. Like Sister French, we can overcome an injustice by persevering in doing what is right and by waiting on Jehovah to correct matters in his due time. Loyally support true worship.
Paragraph 13. Question. Who were the Nethinim, and what did they do after the Babylonian exile?
About 500 years after the time of King David, the Gibeonites appear again in the Bible record. The 70-year Babylonian exile had come to an end, and in 537 BCE, the first group of Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem with Governor Zerubbabel. In 468 BCE, Another group returned, but with Ezra the copyist. Both of those relatively small groups of returning exiles included families of the Nethinim. Who were the Nethinim? They were non-Israelite temple servants or ministers, and many of them were likely descendants of the Gibeonites.
Paragraph 14. Question. How did the Gibeonites show loyalty to Jehovah? 1 Chronicles 9:2 and its footnote reads,
"The first inhabitants to return to their possession in their cities were some Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants."
Or the Nethinim, literally, the given ones.
The temple servants were among the first exiles to return to Israel. That is significant because not all of the Jews in exile returned. Many Jews, no doubt, had found a measure of prosperity in Babylon, and they were unwilling to make the sacrifices required to return and help rebuild their devastated homeland. But faithful exiles, including some who were likely descendants of the Gibeonites, longed to see true worship reestablished at the temple in Jerusalem, and they made every effort to return. Unlike the Jews, the descendants of the Gibeonites did not have an inheritance of land in Israel. Yet they returned to care for their temple duties and even to help repair Jerusalem's walls.
Paragraph 15. Question. What does the account of the Gibeonites teach us about Jehovah?
What does this account teach us about Jehovah? We learn that our God greatly appreciates His loyal worshipers and always takes care of them. By the time the Babylonian exile ended, almost 1,000 years had passed since Jehovah saved the Gibeonites during Israel's conquest of the Promised Land. Yet He continued to bless them. Descendants of the Gibeonites survived the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem in 607 BCE. After the exile, they continued to be closely involved with true worship, ministering with the Levites at the temple. Some apparently lived near the temple, and they received an exemption from paying tax, tribute, and toll on account of their temple work.
Paragraph 16. Question. How can we imitate the Gibeonites when it comes to our worship?
How can we imitate the Gibeonites? We too want to do all we can to support true worship. We willingly make sacrifices to serve Jehovah because we love Him and want to please Him. That was true of Alwyn, a brother in the Philippines. He had a high-paying job working for an oil company, but he wanted to do more in his service to Jehovah. Whenever the circuit overseer visited his congregation, Alwyn took time off from work to support the visit and enjoyed having a greater share in the ministry. After some time and many prayers, Alwyn decided to quit his job and find one that would allow him to serve as a regular pioneer. Doing so would involve making financial sacrifices. Still, he reached his goal. His wife joined him in the pioneer ministry, and as a couple, they have been able to help 21 people learn the truth. No doubt, Jehovah values this couple's efforts. We too can be confident that Jehovah appreciates any sacrifices we make in His service, and as a result, He will always care for our needs.
Paragraph 17. Question.
What have we learned by reviewing Bible accounts about the Gibeonites?
The Bible accounts about the Gibeonites shed light on Jehovah's endearing personality. He's humble, merciful, just, and loyal. He always rewards His faithful worshipers. These Bible accounts also contain a number of practical lessons. Like the Gibeonites, we want to have strong faith in Jehovah, relying on Him when faced with frightening events. Such faith will also move us to care humbly for any theocratic assignment we may receive. We want to wait patiently on Jehovah, confident that He will ultimately correct all injustices. And we support true worship with zeal and loyalty. As we do, we will show that we have learned valuable lessons from the Gibeonites. What can we learn from the Gibeonites about showing faith and humility, dealing with an injustice, loyally supporting true worship. Song 148, Jehovah Provides Escape. End of article.